Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 46 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to be talking a lot of boys soccer today on the heels of the Ankeny Derby. We had two great soccer games last night at Ankeny Centennial, where the Jaguars posted a 1-0 victory in the girls' game before Ankeny rallied for a 2-1 win in the boys' contest. In a little while, we'll be visiting with Centennial boys coach Brian Duex, who has been on both sides of the Jag-Hawk rivalry. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. He is in his second season as the head coach of the Ankeny boys team, and he has guided the 14th-ranked Hawks to an 8-5 record, including a 2-2 mark in the CIML Central Conference. He is Jordan Burns. Jordan, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm good, Don. Good evening.
Hey, good evening to you, too. Well, congratulations on the big win last night over the number 5 Jaguars. You know, considering that your team had lost its previous two conference games, you know, how important was that win for you guys?
Yeah, it was very important. Any derby win is important. But, yeah, just for us moving forward to heading towards sub-state, obviously coming off the back of losing to Urbandale and Ames, which was a poor loss for us. And then that was a really good confidence booster for us and really spurred our emotions in the right way, and hopefully we'll continue to do so.
Well, it certainly didn't get off to a good start for your team. Centennial took a 1-0 lead less than 3 minutes into the game. What was your reaction when the Jaguars got that early goal?
Yeah, it was a poor pass choice, and we got caught in the counter-attack, and the last person you want to give the ball to is, well, Overberg. When he's gone on the counter-attack, he's very fast and he's dangerous. And yeah, it was a good start from us up until we conceded the goal. But I tell you what, when you concede a goal so early in the game, there's still a long time to go, and I believed in the boys, and we got back in it.
Well, you told me last night that you challenged your team at halftime to raise its level of intensity. Did you feel like the key to winning that game, you know, then was more a matter of, you know, effort rather than execution?
Yeah, definitely. Any derby game, when it's two rival teams going together, it doesn't really matter who is the highest ranked team, who's the most informed team. It's who turns up on the night and wants it more. The first half, Centennial worked harder than us, and they wanted it more. But after a little chat at halftime and second half, I thought we were outworked them and wanted it more than them, and we were fortunate enough to score two goals.
Well, Riley Wood got the equalizer for you guys in the 45th minute with a blast from about 25 yards out. That was a heck of a goal, wasn't it?
It was a really good goal. It's probably the best goal I've ever saw Riley score. He's definitely capable of shooting from that distance and scoring, and I think he caught the keeper off guard a little bit. But no, it was a terrific goal, great strike, and in a game like that, you need a big goal like that, a really good goal like that to get you going, and that's what it did. It got us going, and then we got the second one.
Well, yeah, then Charlie Pritchard came through with the game winner in the 67th minute. He took the ball down the left sideline, and he fought off a couple of defenders before finding the back of the net. You know, that was just all about effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That goal there summed up our second half performance in a nutshell. Charlie just wanted it more than the defenders. He barreled, he just got himself in there. He made sure that he got to the ball. He fought for it, and then he kept his composure and showed the caliber of player that he is to just slot it away, and it was a fantastic goal.
Now, how did he have enough energy left after running all the way down the field to do a backflip?
I know. I mean, that's his signature celebration, and it makes me nervous every time he does it. I don't want him to get hurt doing it, but that's Charlie's character, you know, and it's important to allow him to have that character, because it actually helps his game be better when he's in that character.
Sure. Now, Centennial nearly tied the score on a header by Haradine Besic in the final minute. You know, did you breathe a sigh of relief when the ball went over the crossbar?
Yeah, I sure did. After watching the Liverpool-Barcelona game, prior to our game, me being a big Liverpool fan, Liverpool holding on to win against Barcelona, then it was the same kind of situation for us at the end. It was nail-biting stuff, and it was very, very tense and nervousness. And just when that full-time whistle finally went, or when the buzzer went, it was a big, huge sigh of relief, and I was really, really pleased and happy for the boys.
Now, I do want to ask you about the Liverpool game here a little bit, but let's stick on your game for now. You know, this was certainly a physical game. It got a little chippy at times, and the referees handed out several yellow cards. Is that the kind of game you expected, you know, going into it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought it was a very good performance, actually, from the officials last night. They were pretty consistent throughout the whole game. They controlled the game. They made it about the boys. They made it about the game, and it was good. And yeah, you're going to get that. You're going to get that between these guys. And I mean, they're all good friends, and they've played on the same club team growing up for a lot of years now. And this is the final year that they're going to play with each other and play against each other, these seniors. And yeah, even though they're teammates at club and they're friends and their personal lives away from soccer. As soon as they cross that line and one's got a Jag shirt on and one's got a Hawk shirt on, there's no friends, I think, for that 80-minute period. You know, it's about business, and that's always going to be the situation. You know, it's both sets of players and both sets of teams want to win, and that's what sometimes it takes a little bit of, you got to fight for it.
Sure. Well, it seemed to me that the referees were letting the boys play, and I thought they were pretty consistent with their calls. You know, would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I thought they were very consistent with their calls. I think it helps when the referees are mic'd up, and that was the case last night. They had their headsets on, and they're able to talk with each other quicker. And it had a really good flow to the game. And the last thing you want is the officials stop starting the game, especially a game of high emotions of that game last night, and the tempo of the game is very high. So you want it to keep have a good flow to it, and I think it did have a good flow. And for any neutral person coming to watch that game, I think the boys represented their schools and the soccer in Ankeny fantastically last night.
Well, now your team has three games left in the regular season, beginning with Friday's conference finale against Johnston. Now, with a win, Johnston can tie for the league title, along with the winner of the Centennial versus Urbandale game. So I guess you guys have a chance to play the role of the spoiler, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. We need to win because right now Lincoln are, I think, ranked above us at the moment. So they're in our sub-state, so we need to win. I've gave the boys a challenge of winning out, and that was the challenge they got before yesterday's game. So we've completed one game. We go to the next game. We're at home. We're expected to win at home. Johnston are a good side. I know their head coach really well. So it's going to be another battle Friday.
Sure. Well, then your team will finish the regular season a week from Friday against number one Waukee, which is undefeated. That will obviously be a huge challenge for you guys. But you couldn't ask for a better game to prepare you for the postseason, could you?
Yeah, definitely. And that's why Carlos and I decided to reschedule it and put it to the last game. Obviously, there was a couple other things that prevented us from playing on the original date, but I think it's a good game for both sets of teams to play heading into the sub-state. It kind of keeps you ticking over to play a high-level game, and it's going to be two good teams, two good sets of players, and I know there's a lot of history at the club level as well between these two players, and it's going to be another classic game, and it's going to be here in Ankeny, so we're excited to play and host that game.
Now, you mentioned Lincoln being in your sub-state. The brackets haven't been released yet, but you do know the teams in your bracket.
Yeah.
Along with Lincoln, you have Boone, North, Dowling, and Ottumwa. Lincoln is currently ranked 11th with a 10-2 record. You know, do you perceive them to be the biggest threat, you know, in your bracket?
Yeah, I would definitely say that Lincoln are our biggest threat. The reason I know that is because I know a lot of their players from the club team that I coach for. And sometimes with Lincoln, though, they struggle to have their players eligible all the time, so you never know what type of team you're going to get when you play them. If they have all their players available, they're going to be a tough team. They've got some good talent, and it's not going to be a walk in the park, I'll tell you that.
Well, when you look at the state as a whole, you know, who do you think are the favorites to win the Class 3A title as of right now? Do you think, you know, Waukee is the team to beat, or do you think maybe you'll have a better idea of that after the game next week?
I would say Waukee right now are probably the favourites, and rightly so. They've got a terrific coach. Obviously, they're coming off the back of winning the state cup last year, and they didn't lose anyone apart from Lucas Gutierrez, who went to another high school up in Minnesota. But yeah, they returned everyone, and then they've added quality to their squad as well from their freshman class, which is always great coming in, and we've done that as well. You know, we've added some quality from our freshman class, but hey, sometimes it's very, very tough. to be number one and be unbeaten and continue it all the way through sub-state and all the way through state. So it's going to be a big test for Waukee to everyone. They have the big target on their back that everyone's coming after them. I'm looking forward to next Friday's game. It'll give us a kind of better insight of what they look like. Waukee are definitely, in my opinion, the best team so far.
Well, your team took third in the state tournament last year. How much do you think that experience is going to help you guys if you can get back to County Park?
Yeah, it was definitely, obviously the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but from a learning perspective, it was really good for us. It was a shame for the seniors because it was their last go around. However, the core of our team that came back, it's a good learning moment for them and how to manage the game and how to deal with situations. There's a lot of emotions running high down at the county in that week. It's good to play in that game, but it's also it's a good learning environment as well for the kids.
Well, your team has some big wins this season, including one at Valley. So you've certainly shown that you can beat anyone on any given day. You know, do you feel like your team, you know, is maybe ready to make a run at a state title?
Definitely, 100%. We on our day, if our big players show up, we can beat anyone, and everyone knows that as well. Where our big players like Colby and Riley and Charlie and Zach, if those guys perform to their ability all at the same time, then They're difficult to stop. I don't care who you are. Those players are difficult to stop when they're on their game.
Well, it's got to be comforting to know that you have players like that. So even if you do get down by a goal or two, you know, you have guys like Charlie that can make a play like you did last night,
yeah,
just out of the blue and get you right back in the game, right?
No, definitely. You know, I say to them at halftime, it's only 1-0. It takes a second to score a goal. As soon as we get the next goal, we're right back in it. And I say, but the next goal is the most important goal. You go two down, then it's hard. It's an even bigger mountain to climb. But we approached the second half last night. They done what I asked them to do at halftime. We had to outwork them. We weren't outworking them in the first half. They wanted it more. I told them it's about desire. It's about mentality. Like I said to you in the interview after the game, that word mentality was what was going to get us through the game. And they showed that their mentality was fantastic last night. And in a way, I want more of that. You know, I know it's a big game against Centennial, but I want them to approach every game like that, rather than just play that like that and have that desire and work ethic against Centennial because it's your local rivalry team. It's important that we use that level of mentality and level of work rate last night and apply it to every single game now, because they've shown the level they can play at. I got a lot out of my boys last night, and they defined themselves a lot last night, and so we need to keep that going and keep it going into every game like that.
Well, it's been a long season for you guys, and that was a physical game last night. We talked about that, and I know Charlie took a hard fall there towards the end. You know, do you feel like you guys are pretty healthy going down, you know, the home stretch here?
Yeah, we've got everyone healthy except Nate right now. Nate's struggling with a little ankle injury, but we've purposely rested them because we know that the sub-state's out. We need them for the business end of the season. So Nate's going through his rehab right now, but everyone else is pretty healthy. We've just finished a foam roller session right now, a part of a recovery session. The boys are sore doing the foam rolling, but it's important that we recover properly and then we prepare properly. But yeah, so far we're good. We're healthy. We'll get Nate back for the sub-state.
All right, well, I'll finish up with you here just to ask you a question about the Liverpool game that you talked about. Now, Liverpool advanced to the Champions League final after beating Barcelona in one of the most incredible comebacks ever. You know, did you have faith all along that they were going to be able to come back?
Definitely, 100%. Even last week when we lost 3-0 in the first leg out in Barcelona, it's a tough ask. But, you know, Liverpool, I've got a manager or a head coach who demands a lot from them. They have a great team chemistry and they're a great team, Liverpool, fantastic team. And I used that game last night in my pre-match team talk to my boys before the Ankeny game. You know, Liverpool are 3-0 down to one of the best teams in the world, and they've got the best player in the world on the field and a lot of good talent around about them. And Liverpool were missing three or four of their starters and top players, and even with the matchup, it was still Liverpool. They dug deep, they wanted it more than Barcelona, they worked harder, they played better, and they got the win. And he says that, he says even at the highest level, that's what it takes to win a game. And if you want it more than your opponent, you'll win the game.
Yeah, the best team on paper doesn't always win. I do that.
Yeah, that's what I love about soccer. You know, that you can have on paper, you can look fantastic, but if you don't approach the game in the way you need to win the game, and if you don't want to win and want it more than your opponent, then you're not going to win. It's going to be tough.
All right, Jordan. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Good luck the rest of the season. I'll probably see you at one of the upcoming games here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also one of our sponsors of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photo facials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, my second guest is in his second season as the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial boys team. He has guided the fifth-ranked Jaguars to a 12-3 record, including a 3-1 mark in the Central Conference. He is Brian Duex. Brian, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, obviously, you guys didn't get the outcome that you won last night. You know, what are your biggest takeaways from the game?
You know, you play a derby game like that, sometimes skill goes out the window and work rate takes over. Doesn't matter who's the better team on that day because it's a very emotional day. Biggest takeaways is it's one game. We lost to Pleasant Valley and now Ankeny. Let's move forward. We had a good practice today moving forward, preparing for Urbandale. Let's finish the season out strong with a 13-3 record and hopefully a conference title and move forward.
And even if you guys had won, you'd have to move forward anyway, right?
Correct. I would have had the same practice today that we would have had if win or lose.
Well, you recently moved your team's best player, Will Overberg, to the back line, and that move paid some dividends right away last night when Will went coast-to-coast with the ball before setting up teammate Cole Vincent for a goal less than 3 minutes into the game. Is that the kind of play that you envisioned Will being able to make when you made that move?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when Will finds that ball, when he can find an interception, jump a pass, and start running at a defender, the defender doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, he made some moves last night that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and he plays that way for club. When they play club soccer, he plays. So he's comfortable there. It's how the flow of the game goes is where I put him.
We certainly couldn't have asked for a better start to the game. And you guys had some other opportunities in the first half to add to your lead, but you couldn't just, you know, convert. I know Michael Brand had a couple of looks at the goal that he'd probably like to have back. You know, if you guys could have gotten a second goal, you know, that would have changed the whole complexion of the game, wouldn't it?
100%. I mean, it very easily could have been 2 or 3 nothing at halftime. Story of our year, just didn't finish chances. Weren't composed enough in the box to finish chances. A couple mental lapses in the second half to cost us.
What was your message to the team at halftime? Did you feel pretty good about the position you guys were in?
Absolutely. Felt very good. Felt that if we continued to limit their big players' impact on the game, that we would win the game. And for the most part, we did. But kudos to Riley Wood for having a strike that I don't know if he'll ever hit again, but it was a wonder strike. And then Chuck taking on two guys and scoring a goal. Kudos to them.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much else you guys could have done to prevent those goals or if you just have to tip your cap to them.
I mean, the Riley one, could we have been tighter so he couldn't have gotten a shot off? Sure. The Charlie one, you had 2 or 3 chances to win it, and kudos to Charlie for finishing the chance.
Well, I thought on Charlie's run down the field, you know, there was a lot of jostling between him and the defender, and on some nights there might have been a foul called there one way or another, but the referees were letting the boys play last night, weren't they?
They were, and I know Mike, the ref, for a long time, and he's one that early will call it tight to keep the reins on it, and then as the game goes on, he lets it go a little bit looser. Could there have been a foul? Absolutely.
Well, because the game was allowed to get pretty physical, you know, it also became a little chippy at times. You know, would you have preferred that maybe they called it a little tighter?
No, not necessarily. I just wish he would have been a little bit more consistent. For instance, when he gave Michael Brandt the card for fouling Charlie, Riley then instantly came in and took out Michael Brandt. Well, if you're going to give one card to one, you should give the other card to another. But he didn't, because it would have been Colt Riley's second yellow,
sure,
making it a red card. That's why he didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, the good thing for you guys is that you're still tied for first place in the conference despite the loss. And on Friday, like you mentioned, you'll host Urbandale with a share of the league title on the line. Still have a lot to play for, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, does it hurt to lose this game? Yeah, but it hurts to lose any game. We're going to move forward just like we would have if we would have won. It would have been a better feeling today, but it would have been the same practice regardless.
What do you know about Urbandale? What's going to be the key to beating them?
So they are coached by Jimmy Frizzell, who I coached with at Simpson. They will play a run-and-gun style. They'll try and get up and down the field very quickly. So we have to make sure we win the first ball. And then when we win the first ball, we have to be able to keep the first ball. We don't want to make it a track meet where we're just kicking balls back and forth. That's what they would like, but we're going to try and keep the ball and make them chase us a little bit.
Now, after this game, you guys are going to have more than a week off before the postseason starts, right?
Absolutely. We're going to have 11 days of practice to fix any and all errors before sub-state starts.
Well, we just got done talking with Jordan Burns, and I know Ankeny has two games next week, including one against Waukee.
Yep.
You know, would you have liked to have had at least one game next week to kind of tune up for the postseason?
Nope.
You'd rather practice, huh?
Nope. I will have a full squad, and we will have plenty of inter-squad scrimmages going on to prepare them. But now we can definitely rest, recover, make sure that everybody's healthy for the postseason, plus fix any errors that we might need to fix.
Now, the sub-state brackets have not been released yet, but you do know who the teams are in your bracket. You have East, Indianola, Johnston, Marshalltown, and Southeast Polk. Marshalltown is currently ranked number 7 with a 13-1 record and is riding a 13-game winning streak. So if you do end up playing the Bobcats, you're going to have your work cut out for you, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's Chris Foxen, another good guy that I've known for a long time. Yeah, they're on if the brackets go the way they should, that I believe they will, we will be the one. We will play the winner of East and Southeast Polk, I believe. And then on the other side of the bracket is where it could get tricky, because Marshalltown's field is god-awful. And if Johnston has to go to Marshalltown, that's a huge advantage for Marshalltown.
Sure.
I don't know if the state will allow them to play on that field. It's bad.
Yeah, you wouldn't want a game decided by the field, but...
But that's, you know, I've been there. I've been to Marshalltown many times, and it's a very tough place to play. It's about 54 yards wide, huge crown, long grass. It'd be trouble for anybody.
Hmm.
But as the highest seed or the highest ranked team in the pod, we should get first round bye and host the entire thing.
Well, when Marshalltown plays at home, that's got to be a big advantage for them.
Huge. I mean, they beat Valley the other day 3-0. Huge advantage for them. Absolutely.
Now, is Marshalltown supposed to be, you know, this good this year? They're not exactly the first team that I would think of when you talk about the powerhouses in the CIML.
Well, Marshalltown last year, if you remember, we played them in the sub-state semifinal, and I think we only beat them 1-0. It was either 1-0 or 2-1, and it was a good game. It was a really good game. They always got a little bit of that Hispanic flair, and they're always very well coached by Chris Foxen. To be honest, I thought they wouldn't be as good this year because their best player graduated and went on to play at Simpson, but he's got them rallied. So, I mean, yeah, watch out for the Bobcats.
Well, I know you mentioned Johnston. That's another team that you can't overlook. You know, if you would end up seeing them, I know you told me a while back that they were probably the best 500 team in the state. I think now they're 7-6 after winning last night. They're certainly a threat as well, aren't they?
Absolutely. Johnston's always a threat. I mean, Heath Weeks always has those guys very well trained. And then his assistant is Tim Stork, who coached with me at Simpson as well. They're always very well disciplined, very well versed. They keep the ball really well. There's no easy road to state. Doesn't matter who's in your bracket. There's at least one or two tough games.
Have you coached with all the coaches on every team that you face?
I've been around a long time, Dan. I've been around between playing and coaching. I have been in this metro for a long time.
That makes two of us. So.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the state as a whole, you know, who do you think are the favorites to win the Class 3A title as of right now? You know, do you think Waukee is the team to beat, or do you think it's got the potential to be a pretty wide open tournament?
I think the parity is very good. I think there could be, you know, just like Waukee last year, as the 8 seed, you could see an 8 seed win the whole thing again. Waukee's riding on their win streak from last year and still riding high, so obviously they are the favorites. But depending on who's in it, if you would take the top 8 or 9 ranked teams in the state right now, I would say you could beat anybody on any given day.
Your team made it to the state tournament last year before losing to Iowa City West in overtime in the quarterfinals. You know, do you feel like this team has the potential to get back there and maybe go further this time?
I hope so. I think so. We return a lot of guys from that team. We've been working extremely hard. We've come up short three times this year, and it's been 2-1 all three times. I think if we play our best game, yes, we absolutely have the potential to win the whole thing.
Now, we talked a little bit about, you know, how physical the game was last night. I know there's a few guys that got banged up a little bit. You know, how's your team's health right now?
I think we're okay. I think we'll, you know, a few nicks and knocks every once in a while, and we'll be all right. But, again, we're going to have a good long weekend after another tough game with Urbandale, and then we'll get after it Monday through probably the following Tuesday before. So we'll be healthy by the time the next game rolls around.
And you mentioned that the only games you guys have lost have all been close. What's going to be the key for you guys to reach your potential? I mean, you talked about how all season long you guys haven't been able to convert those chances. Is that going to be the biggest key?
Mental breakdowns, both offensively and defensively. Can we finish chances off to put teams away? Can we limit our breakdowns in the back to giving up goals? Absolutely. It's not going to be anything tactically. It's not going to be anything physically. It's going to be, can we mentally stay checked in for all 80 minutes of every game?
Well, Brian, I know you have a team dinner to get to tonight, so I don't want to hold you up any longer. I'm sure you're getting hungry, so I'm going to cut you loose here. Thanks a lot for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 for questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We'll be previewing the state track meet.